And staying with Iraq, two leading political journals of the left and right are in a nasty fight over the nature of the American presence there.
Over the last several months, the New Republic has published several pieces under the heading Baghdad Diarist. The magazine said they were from a soldier who used a pseudonym to protect his identity. The last dispatch a few weeks ago was about acts of brutality by American troops, running over dogs, parading human bones as trophies, mocking a woman disfigured by her wounds.
War supporters, led by the Weekly Standard, challenged the truth of the account. The diarist was then identified as Scott Thomas Beauchamp, an Army private who's married to a New Republic staffer. The Army investigated. It now says Private Beauchamp's story is not true. The New Republic, which suffered a notorious incidence of false reporting a decade ago, does not at this point concede that it may have happened again. Anyway, this argument is beside the point, says Phil Carter, writing the War Stories column for Slate.com. Phil, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Alex.
You've served in Iraq. Does any of the Baghdad Diarist story ring true to you?
It's hard to say. The first two dispatches carried an echo of the truth. Everyone sees bad stuff over there. Every soldier has his own war story.
The first dispatch, I'll just note, was about a young Iraqi boy who was learning a kind of a pidgin English, and people were happy and proud, and then insurgents cut his tongue out.
Right. And this sort of thing does happen. You know, you see bodies deposited on the side of the road with marks from power drills that have been put in them. It's not beyond the pale of what could happen in Iraq.
Does this come about because the New Republic allowed someone to essentially be anonymous?
I think that's part of it, but that didn't change the truth of the stories. That just made the New Republic very easy to attack. I think the New Republic should have anticipated the violence and the virulence of the response it would get and done everything it could ahead of time to check the facts and to bolster the credibility of the story.
Well, what is your advice for American news organizations trying to cover the war and trying to get authentic voices out of it, the real experiences of Americans who are serving there?
The first is that I wouldn't allow a pseudonym. I would require the writer to stand on his or her own credibility. The second is that I would require some corroboration. These are fantastic stories, and these are the kinds of stories that people without that experience might not believe or might question in the absence of a photograph or some detail about it that made it both seem true and also verifiable.
The Baghdad Diarist, Private Beauchamp, we have not heard from him. The Army doesn't say when it will make him available. It says it's leaving up to his unit whether or not to discipline him in some way because he broke regulations in writing things for publication without clearing them. What do you think will happen to this young man?
Well, his unit has a war to fight, and that is probably their first priority. I think they will probably give him some sort of minor administrative punishment. In the military, it's called an Article 15. It may include extra duty or reduction in rank or something like that. But they want to quickly get back to the business of fighting a war. He is an infantryman. He's in an infantry company, and his unit leaders probably can't spare the time to deal with this any further.
But it's become a hot political issue, at least in the community of opinion makers in Washington, D.C., and that matters for the war.
It matters for the war, but it may not matter so much to the troops fighting it. And I think this is one of the most interesting points. When I talked to public affairs officers in Baghdad, there seemed to be a sort of exasperation. You know, don't you want to know about how the war is going? They seemed to intimate. But no, we're calling them about a New Republic story that is so marginal and really on the sidelines of the war effort that it seems silly to even call them to ask about it. And I think that the soldiers and their leaders really just want to get down to the business at hand.
You know, first-person journalism from the war is now easier than it's ever been. There are blogs. There are all kinds of ways to get information out to people. Does this leave you more skeptical about what you may see online, purportedly from the front line?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a born skeptic, and maybe that's why I'm a lawyer. I always look at statements and stories in the first person and think that they couldn't be true.
But there are things that happen in war zones that people later regret.
And this is the awful truth of war, and it's one that's rarely shared with civilians. It's usually reserved for unit reunions and nights at the bar with buddies. And these things are very hard to verify and very hard to judge because so few people have that experience, and also because they happened in a place where the unbelievable does happen.
Phil Carter's piece on the Baghdad Diarist is up on Slate under the War Stories column. Phil, thanks for speaking with us again.
Thanks again, Alex.